Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. If you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament passage of Hosea. The Old Testament passage of Hosea. Hosea is the very first book in the section of the Bible we call the Minor Prophets. We have 12 minor prophets, and they may be minor in size, but they are major in message. And with these minor prophets, they're often overlooked, understudied, and not understood. And yet, when we look at them, we could see that they contain lots of power. As we've been walking through the book of Hosea, we've already been introduced to Hosea and his family. As we saw Hosea, who is the prophet of God, he was told by God before he even married his wife Gomer that she was going to run away on him. She was going to cheat on him. She was going to go away to other lovers, and that she was going to worship other things. And we see in chapter 2 that this door of hope, that over and over we saw those therefores, where he was hoping that maybe now she would come to the end of herself. Maybe now she would stop going her way. And so he supplied her. When she was starving, he would bring food to her. And he was hoping that there would be a hedge to keep her from going further, and that the goodness that he would show would lead her to repentance. And she would say, I had it better earlier, but that didn't stop her. He hoped that maybe if we took everything away and that when she would come to the end of herself, that maybe that would do so. But finally, the third one was the Valley of Achor, the Valley of Trouble. And that's usually what it takes in someone in this position to finally come to the end of themselves. And now we come to chapter 3, a heartbreaking chapter, but there is no clearer Bible illustration, historical illustration, to show what redemption truly is than in chapter number 3. Notice with me in the book of Hosea chapter 3, and as you're turning there to Hosea chapter 3, may I remind you that the reason why God has placed this here is because God is trying to give an illustration to us about God's heartbrokenness to us. How much God loves us and what God does for us that we see in a person of Hosea. We could see a reflection that we can understand of God's heartbrokenness for his people. Notice with me in chapter number 3, a small chapter, but yet powerful. Notice with me in Hosea chapter 3 and verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord towards the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley, and for half a homer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days, and thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return, and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in Hosea chapter 3? Hosea chapter 3, and notice with me verse number 2. So I bought her. So I bought her. And with this, we want to see God's redeeming love. We cannot fully comprehend the love of God. The message of his redeeming love is his heart and the gospel. in this, we have a horrible picture and the consequences of everything that happened. Hosea's wife, Gomer, has left him and left her children. In fact, it was doubtful whether the second child was even his, and the third child definitely wasn't his. And yet, we could see in this chapter that God sent Hosea after Gomer. Hosea obeyed the Lord's command and bought her to himself, though she had literally been in the depths of the sin. Perhaps there was a time where Gomer was a very beautiful woman, a woman whose company was to be desired by many people, but her life had been devastated by sin. There is a pleasure in sin for a season, but that season is soon over and nothing is left but death. Let's examine this and let's first of all see the God who seeks. The God who seeks. Notice with me in verse 1. Then saith the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord towards the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. Remember that God is using this marriage to be an illustration of for God and his people. God has a wife in this illustration, and his wife is Israel. And of course, Israel refused to be faithful to God. Every chance they got, they went away, they ran away to go do something and be with someone else. Gomer had broken her marriage covenant with Hosea, just like Israel had broken that covenant. We understand that as we start looking at ourselves and we understand that we too are a people that God loved, but we continue to run away. We continue, before we came to know the Lord, we didn't want to have anything to do with God. And if we did, we wanted a religion that was on our own terms and not the terms of the Bible. We thought we could cheat on God. Remember, there is an idea of spiritual adultery. Let's just define adultery. What is adultery? Adultery is putting your love and affection to someone that it doesn't belong to. To someone or to something else. There is an idea of spiritual adultery that instead of having the love that we should have for God, we put the love that belongs to God and we put it into other things. Sometimes it's hobbies, sometimes jobs, sometimes it's just some other thing. But we put our love and affection and we have run away from a God who loved us. And God just desires to be with us. How heartbroken would Hosea be when he says, honey, I just want to spend time with you. And she would just go off with some other guy. Blatantly just said, I don't want you. Some other guy. But you're my wife. I don't care. I want to do what I want to do. No, you're not going to tell me what to do. I don't want to be with you. How heartbroken would Hosea be? And how heartbroken our God is, who's done so much for us. And we say, I don't want to be with you. I don't want to spend time with you. I don't want to put my affection on you. I'd rather put my affection on something else because you're not important to me. But I'm thankful that we have a seeking Savior. The gospel says in the gospel record of Luke chapter 19, verse 10, we're not going to turn there, but it says that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, we have a seeking Savior, a Savior who's always knows where we're at. We saw that in chapter 2, that even though Gomer took off on Hosea, Hosea knew where she was at, knew what she was doing, knew what was going on, not for the idea that he wanted to get back at her, but because he was hoping that maybe he could bring her back to himself, that maybe he just looking for the chance that finally she says, I'm tired of this. I want to come home. And he'd be there, very available. That's much like our seeking Savior. Our seeking Savior will not violate our will, meaning that he will not force us but he wants us to choose him. You know, that's one of the most heartbreaking things, Hosea chapter number 3. The most heartbreaking thing is that God wants us to choose him. And we reject him over and over because we said we don't want to choose him. And yet he makes himself available for the moment, for the time where we finally say, I need something more than this. Something's got to be better than this. I want to go home. And Jesus says, I'm here. Come back. I'm ready to accept you back right now. We have a seeking Savior who's heartbroken, who's begging, but he wants us to choose him. He's seeking for. We could see Gomer here. She doesn't want her husband, but he still wants her no matter how much she has hurt him and violated. He still wants her. God is seeking the most debauched, wretched, and vile human beings, and he's seeking to have them back to himself. I'm so thankful there's no one so far gone that Jesus would not take. We also see a second thing. The God who suffers. The God who suffers. We need to understand the heart of God here. That as we're looking at the human of Hosea, one of the things that we have a hard time with is understanding a spiritual, invisible God. And because of that, we don't attribute feelings. We don't think about his day. We don't think about his heart. And so in order to help us to understand, he's given us a human illustration. And just like Hosea is hurting, God is hurting. Do you know God is an emotional being? He has emotions. He has feelings. And he cares. In fact, turn with me, if you don't mind, to the gospel record of Luke. We're coming back to Hosea, so don't lose your place. But Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, as we see in Luke 23, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to the cross of Calvary, and there he's going to die for the sins of every person who ever lived, the sins of the world, the sins individual. He's dying for us personally, not generically, not as a blanket, but he is dying for us personally. Notice with me in Luke 23, and in verse number 27, he says, there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. Verse 28. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and weep for your children. Why? Because they are hurting themselves by rejecting Christ. They are hurting themselves by walking in that path. Do we not believe that Hosea was hurting herself going the path she was going to? Leaving her husband and going and committing adultery and living this lifestyle away? She was hurting herself. And Hosea is brokenhearted for this because he has seen this. Now, we all have family or friends, people that are close to us that we've seen walk away. And one of the most heartbreaking things for us is not that they've rejected us, but we could see the destruction they are bringing upon themselves. We could see the hurt on themselves. It is one of the most heartbreaking things is to want more for people than what they want for themselves. To look at someone and say, listen, if you keep going this place, you're going to destroy yourself. You don't realize how much trouble you're in. And they're like, I'm fine. No, you're not fine. But they just look at you crazy. I'm fine. I'm good. I don't need to listen. can't tell you as a pastor how many times I go home and cry and weep. When I say, please read your Bible, yeah, I'm good. No, you don't understand the destruction you are putting upon your family. I could see what's going to happen. It is very clear. And you are not the exception to the rule, by the way. You are unfortunately going to prove that rule. Turn back. Turn back. Please turn back. It is one of the most heartbreaking things to watch someone walking further and further away to their own destruction, to their own hurt. And you could see the car wreck going to happen. And you're weeping and crying, please stop. Please stop. Please listen. Don't go so far. Turn back. Turn back. And to watch them say, I'm good. I'm fine. You're not. Do you think at any time Gomer ever thought she would be so damaged? She thought she was just enjoying life. She thought that she was just doing what she wanted to make her happy, and that was going to be fine. She didn't realize the destruction she was going to. Turn with me to the gospel record of Luke chapter 19. Remember that Jesus is God robed in flesh, and Jesus had emotions and Jesus had feelings. Let's see Jesus' heartbrokenness as he's looking over on a hill, looking down at Jerusalem. And he is seeing Jerusalem displayed. And he knows that these are people that have rejected him. Notice with me Luke chapter 19, verse 41. And when he, Jesus, was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belonged unto thy peace, but now they're hid from thine eyes. He says, if you would just know what I want for you and what you can have for you, because you rejected it, it's now hidden from you. You're not going to see it. I had so much more planned for you, but you wouldn't take it. Verse 43, for the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee on every side. And thou shalt lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And thou shalt not leave until in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Jesus says, I'm looking at Jerusalem. I'm so heartbroken because I can see the destruction. I can see because you've rejected me, and you've rejected God's offer, that you've rejected peace. And now because of that, enemies are going to strike around you. When Jesus is speaking, it's about 30 AD. 40 years from now, it's 70 AD. The Roman government under the future emperor Titus surrounds Jerusalem, and they are going to level this place to the ground. Just as Jesus said, well, there's no stone left over. They are going to destroy it. The leftover Jewish rebels are going to go to Masada. And there, out of rebellion, they are going to commit mass suicide rather than submit to the Roman government and just be utterly destroyed. And when Jesus is looking at this, he could see the flames. He could see the destruction. And it's because they, in the day of visitation, you understood that if they had accepted Christ now, none of this would have happened. In fact, as you go through the gospel records and you look, Jesus gave them an honest offer to be their king right then and there. To be their king, and they rejected it. They rejected him and they rejected peace. And because they rejected him, they brought to themselves destruction. And again, Jesus can see with discernment where they're headed. And he is so brokenhearted. Once again, it is such a heartbreak for us to see loved ones walking in the wrong direction saying, I'm fine. I'm good. I know what I'm doing. I don't need someone to tell me what to do. I don't have to do this as pastor to watch people say, I refuse to read my Bible. I'm too busy, not interested. And watching people saying, you don't understand the destruction. You are rejecting Christ. But I'm saved. You can be saved and get so far away from God. And the whole time, God says, I got so much more for you. Why do you have to destroy your life? You don't have to. You can have benefits. You can have peace. I watch so many Christian families with no peace, and they're like, what's happening? Because you're not listening. You can have more. So much more than this. I'm fine. I'm good. No, you're not. The heartbrokenness of God. Which now brings us, as we turn back to Hosea chapter number 3, the God who saves. Now, we understand that this is some heavy things here. But this is why we're in Sunday school with the kids up somewhere else. I want you to imagine Hosea arriving at the slave market. We know quite a bit about the slave market because so much was written about it. When someone could enter into slavery one of three ways. They could be conquered, be a conquered people and be put into slavery. They can sell themselves into slavery to pay off a debt. And forgive me, my mind just lost the third one, but it was very easy. And when you go into a slave market, when they would auction someone off, there wouldn't be a stitch of clothing on them so everyone could examine the property, the merchandise. Hosea enters in, and he is only looking for one bid, one thing. They bring his wife, who is now a slave, exposed to everything. Here is a woman who's had three children. Here is a woman whose sin and the world has ravaged her. There is not much to see. There was not much left over. And as people would gather around, she's not going to get much. But it seems like no matter what, there's always someone who's always making just a higher bid. It starts off real low, real low. And yet Hosea the whole time goes just a little bit higher, a little bit higher. It's his, and he's going to do whatever it takes to get her back to himself. Notice verse number 2. So I bought her. For how much? For 15 pieces of silver. Now, context pays a little bit in here. The average price of a slave was 30 pieces of silver. When he bought her, she was so used up, she wasn't even worth the full price of a slave. She was worth half the price. She was used up. There was nothing left of her. No one wanted her, rejected, abused, neglected, naked and exposed. So I bought her. Imagine Hosea having to purchase his own wife just so she could be his. Notice in verse 3, and I said unto her, thou shalt abide with me many days, and thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. Hosea gets his wife, purchases her, pays the price, brings her down and says, listen, you were already mine because of marriage, but you ignored that marriage bond. Now I purchased you. I own you. Now you can't run away anymore. You're mine. Twice bought. By the way, the word redeemed comes from the slave markets. The word redeemed means to buy back as from a slave market, to buy the price for a human, to redeem. When Jesus Christ saw us on the auctioning block, abused, worthless, nothing left over, nothing of value, Jesus went to the slave market and said, I want to purchase them. What's the price you want to purchase them? My blood. And Jesus went to the cross of Calvary to die on the cross for you and for me. He purchased us from the slave market of sin. He redeemed us when we weren't worth anything. He purchased us. With that same thing, you are now mine, not for anyone else's. You understand, we are twice bought. God created us, and because he created us, he has every right to tell us what to do. But we ignored the creator God, and we ran off and said, I want to do whatever I want. And the next thing you know, sin had so marred us, so neglected us, so messed us up, we were worth nothing. And Jesus bought us. So I bought her. And Jesus said, you're mine now twice. I created you, but I also purchased you with my own blood. You are not for another. You're mine and mine always. You understand that as Christians, if we run away after that, we have violated twice ownership. We are violating someone who purchased us with his own blood. And to run away after that, what are we thinking? What a wonderful God that we have who loved us and cared for us. So I bought her. We will not love the Lord like we ought to love him. We will not serve the Lord the way that we ought to serve him until we see ourselves on the auctioning block, until we see ourselves where Gomer stood, until we see our place that we were abused, neglected, ravaged by sin, that our choices did not bring about the result that we wanted. And Jesus purchased us. When you see that Jesus loved you so much that he purchased you and brought him to himself, it changes the way you see things. Now I realize I belong to him. What a wonderful God that we have. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Lord, I'm asking that you would help us to see ourselves as we truly are, that we are abused and neglected, that we have nothing to offer. But yet you loved us so much that you died on the cross to shed your blood for us, to purchase us, to redeem us, to bring us to yourself, that you could do something in our lives that we could not do for ourselves. Lord, I'm asking that you would help us to see ourselves in Gomer's spot and to see ourselves that you purchased us and that you have every right to tell us what to do because you purchased us. Lord, thank you. It's a hard picture to see, but it is a necessary picture to see that we could find our place in your work and in our relationship with you the way that we ought. Lord, I'm asking that you would help us to wake up, that we would see ourselves truly as we are and see what a wonderful God who loved us the entire time. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time
to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.